Morning.
早上好。
Yeah, you mean? The book of Daniel was written not simply to record history or even tell of what will happen in the future.
但以理书是这本书的写作并不是只是来记录历史或者是说这过去发生了什么事情。
The book of Daniel is written to Jewish exiles.
这本书是给那些犹太人那些流亡的犹太人写的。
It's written to encourage them, to teach them on how to behave and live in this foreign land.
是是要鼓励他们，而且教导他们在这个在异地怎么来生活。
Exiles are people who are displaced by force from their homeland.
这些流亡者就是被暴力被赶走他们的家乡的。
They're uncomfortable.
他们就是很不舒服。
They're under the rule of a hostile emperor.
他们是在一个很有敌意的这个帝王下的受他的统治。
Culture that's not their own.
然后他们住在这个环境周围，并不是他们自己的文化。
They couldn't keep their worship rituals.
他们也不能保持他们自己崇拜的这些礼仪。
Being exiled is hard.
所以做一个流亡者是很艰难的。
And the book of Daniel makes this point.
所以呢，就是但以理书就是讲了这一点。
God is still in control, even though the Jewish people are in exile, they are still His people.
神是在掌管一切的，尽管犹太人他们在流亡，他们还是神的子民。
Though Nebuchadnezzar is king, God is in control.
尽管尼布贾尼撒是王，但是神还是在掌管一切。
The New Testament describes us as spiritual exiles.
新约讲描述我们呢，说我们是属于灵命上的流亡者。
This world is not our home.
因为这个世界不是我们的家。
We are uncomfortable.
我们在这里并不舒服。
We're citizens of heaven, but we live on earth.
我们是天上的子民，但是我们却住在地上。
We know that the culture here, the world here, is not how the world is supposed to work.
我们知道，就是我们地上的这些文化，并不是就是应该是事情应该是这样发生的。
We long to live in the presence of God.
我们一直渴望在神的同在中生活。
We constantly fight the temptation to sin.
我们
temptation. We always fight this temptation to sin.
我们一直是在这个诱惑或者和罪恶中之间挣扎。
We're in pain when we see the effects of sin in broken families and broken lives.
我们就是实际上是很痛苦，当我们看到就是罪恶的结果就是把家庭破碎。
We live in a world where illness, death are facts of life.
我们是住在一个这个世界，疾病和死亡是生命中的事实。
No matter how we take care of ourselves, we're faced with illness.
不管我们怎么样来照顾自己，我们都是要面对死亡。
Children are born handicapped.
有些婴儿生下来就有缺陷。
Car accidents happen.
然后有车祸。
We get diagnosis of cancer.
然后有人被诊断为癌症。
And age takes a toll on all of us.
还有就是年龄也给我们身体带来很多不便。
We long to see justice.
我们渴望公义。
We see racial injustice in our own country.
我们看到我们这个国家有很多种族上的不公平。
We watch the poor being taken advantage of around the world.
我们也看到在世界上有好多穷人被人利用。
We watch helplessly as it is legal for women to abort babies in the name of economics and convenience.
然后我们也看到有好多妇女就是以经济或者是方便的名义来堕胎，我们也感到很无助。
We know that this is not our home.
我们知道这不是我们的家。
But it is our home. We live here.
可是呢，它又是我们的家，因为我们住在这里。
Jesus counsels us, tells us, we do not belong to this world. We're not of this world, but we are in this world.
耶稣教导我们说，我们不属于这个世界，但是呢，我们却在这个世界里。
In fact, Jesus purposely sends us into the world.
是事实上，耶稣就是很特意的把我们放到这个世界上。
So we have this tension.
所以让我们有这么一个有这么一个张力。
We're in exile. This world is not what's supposed to be.
所以我们是在我们也是流亡者。这个世界也不是它应该就是这样的。
Yet we live here.
可是呢，我们住在这里。
And we look forward to our true home, going back to our true home with God.
但是我们期待着就是回到我们真正的家，就是和神在一起的那个家。
So Israel's exile is relatable to us.
所以以色列的流亡跟我们来说也是有关的。
The question is about the nature of God is relevant to us today.
他们对神性的这些问题对我们今天也是很有关的。
This is especially true.Now, as our nation and Western civilization seems to drift more and more away from Christian worldview.
这个在当今是更是有关的，因为我们看到我们的国家还有好多西方文化，就好像离基督教的世界观越来越远。
Their concerns are our concerns.
所以这些犹太人的他们的一些关心的事情也是我们所关心的。
Can I trust that God is in control while we're living in exile?
我们能不能相信神当我们在流亡的时候？
And what should I do with this current authority that God has placed over us?
那么我们是怎么来对待这些就我们在流亡的时候我们怎么来对待这些管辖我们的这些掌权的人呢？
So open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 4.
所以打开你的圣经，翻到但以理书第四章。
The first thing that we see in this passage is that this is a letter written from Nebuchadnezzar.
我们看到的这个呢，第一章第四章一开始我们看到呢，就知道这是一封信，是尼布贾尼撒写的一封信。
In Nebuchadnezzar.To all the people and nations and languages that dwell in all the earth.
所以是尼布甲尼撒王是给所有的就是所有的人说各种各样语言的人写的。
This letter is a testimony of the king, attesting to the power and dominion of the Most High God.
这封信也就是尼布甲尼撒国王的见证，就是来见证神的大能和神的统治。
And starting in verse 4, he tells us how he got to this point.
所以从第四节，我们看到他就开始讲他是怎么来认识到这一点的。
This is a contest of God versus Nebuchadnezzar.
所以这是在神和尼布甲尼撒之间的一个比赛。
King versus king.
王对王。
Or rather, King of Kings versus the King of Babylon.
或者说是万王之王和巴比伦的王。
God is going to show himself once again that he is king and Nebuchadnezzar is no match for him.
所以这里神就再一次显示他是万王之王，那么尼布甲尼撒是根本是不是对手。
We find out in verse 4 that Nebuchadnezzar was at ease, he was prosperous.
我们看到在第四节尼布甲尼撒是很舒适的，因为他当时就是他们的国家很繁荣。
He was king or emperor over many nations.
因为他是好多国家的王。
He built an extravagant, legendary city.
他建了一个很豪华、很奢侈的一个就是名传四方的一个城市。
The city walls with its towers and moats were of great renown.
这个城的城墙还有它上面一些塔，还有这些护城河，都是很有名的。
Inside the city, historians think that one of the seven wonders of the world was there, the Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
在这个城里头有好多历史学家认为是世界七大奇迹之一，就是巴比伦的这个空中这种空中花园。
That King Nebuchadnezzar built for his wife.
是这个尼布贾尼撒给他妻子建的。
Of course, Nebuchadnezzar's palace and temples must have been very impressive.
当然，这个尼布贾尼撒的宫殿和好多这些神殿也应该是非常不一般的。
The city served as a capital over an empire which covers present-day Iraq, Kuwait, Syria, Turkey, Egypt, Saudi Arabia, Jordan, Iran, Lebanon, Israel, and Cyprus.
这个城呢是作为一个首府，就是来这个首府是一个非常大的帝国的一个首府。这个帝国就是相当于今天包括今天的伊拉克、科威特、叙利亚、土耳其、埃及、沙特、约旦、伊朗、黎巴嫩、以色列和塞浦路斯。
This extravagance must have given King Nebuchadnezzar great pride.As he sat on top of the roof and looked over the city.
所以呢，就是这个豪华肯定就是给这个尼布贾尼撒一个带来很大的骄傲，因为他当站到这个城上，他能看站到他能看到就是整个的城。
Of course, much of this luxury was ill-gotten.
当然，这个大部分这些奢侈都是这些奢华都是不正当来得来的。
We know as he conquered nations.He brought destruction with him to countless people.
我们知道他去征服了好多国家，而且给那些无数的人民带来了毁灭。
He plundered the temple in Jerusalem.
他掠夺了耶路撒冷的神庙。
His armies killed and enslaved many civilizations.
他的军队也杀死了好多人，而且也捉了好多人做奴隶。
He showed no mercy toward the oppressed.
他对那些被压迫的人一点怜悯也没有。
In fact, quite the opposite. He oppressed people in order to gain his wealth and power.
而且恰恰相反，他是压迫那些人来得取他的来得取他的财富和权力。
So God responds by warning Nebuchadnezzar.
所以神就是来警告尼布贾尼撒。
He does it through Nebuchadnezzar's dream and through Daniel the prophet.
他是通过是这个梦和他的那个先知但以理。
Starting verse 5, we see that Nebuchadnezzar has a terrifying dream.
从第五节开始，看第二章，我们看到尼布贾尼撒他就做了一个非常可怕的梦。
Verse 5 in chapter 4. But it's very similar to chapter 2. It's the same type of dream he had in chapter 2, a terrifying dream.
是第四章从第五节到第五节开始，他做这个梦，做了一个很可怕的梦。
And his astrologers weren't able or unwilling to interpret the dream for him.
而且他的那些占星术那些人懂占星术这些人，他们或者是不愿意，或者是不可能，就是没办法来解这个梦。
In this dream, there was a tree which grew big and strong, and its branches reached the heavens.
所以在这个梦里呢，就讲到有一棵树长得非常大，非常强壮，它的枝子都达到了天上。
A sacred tree with roots reaching the depths of the sea and branches reaching the heights of the heavens is well known to the Babylonian mythology.And to much of the ancient Near East.
所以有一棵神树，它的根子长得非常深，长到海底，而且它的枝子又达到天上。就是这个在巴比伦的神话中是一个很有名的一棵树。
If you look at the ruins of Babylon or of Assyria, you'll see this idea of the tree of life.
你要是看巴比伦的这个废墟，你能看到有这么一棵树。
Yeah, so there in their reliefs, they had this image of this tree.
所以他们这些城的废墟上能看到有雕刻的这个树。
And when you read their epic poetry, they'll describe this tree.
你要是读过就是这个历史历史史诗，你也能读到就是关于讲这棵树。
This tree is a symbol of dominion or rulership over the earth.
这个树呢就是一个统治世界的这个一个象征。
It connects the depths, the underworld to the heavens and gives life to the earth.
它把地下的他把地下连到天上，然后赋予生命。
Look at the description Nebuchadnezzar gives in verse 10 to 12.
我们看看第十节到十二节尼布甲尼撒的描述。
I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful, and its fruit abundant.And in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heavens lived in its branches. All flesh was fed from it.
我看见地当中有一棵树极其高大，那树健长而且坚固，高得顶天，从地极都能看见。叶子华美，果子甚多，可做众生的食物。田野的走兽卧在荫下，天空的飞鸟宿在枝上。凡有血气的都从这树得食。
This tree provided life to all under its branches.
这棵树给 树下的所有的一切都提供了生命。
It's majestic, expressed from, you can see from the ends of the earth.
它是非常的非常的高大，你可以从那个地极都能看到。
And I think Nebuchadnezzar and his astrologers knew the significance of this tree in this dream.
我认为尼布甲尼撒和他的那些术士们都知道这个梦的重要性。
Daniel's interpretation wasn't any news to Nebuchadnezzar.
但以理的解梦并不是有什么新奇的地方。
But it's a bold proclamation to Nebuchadnezzar.
但是呢，它却是一个非常大胆的解释。
To the Babylonians, they already knew what this tree meant. This dream is clear.
因为对这个巴比伦这些人来讲，他们都知道这个梦讲的是什么，因为是很讲的很明显。
Look at verse 19.
我们看第十九节。
Daniel says, "My Lord, may this dream be for those who hate you, and its interpretation for your enemies."
但以理说：“我主啊，愿这梦归于恨恶你的人，讲解归于你的敌人。”
Daniel knew this was going to be bad.
因为但以理知道这个是非常不好的。
And this is why Nebuchadnezzar goes from this peaceful content state in verse 4 to a very troubled state in verse 5. He had this dream and he was very troubled.
这就是为什么尼布甲尼撒他在第四节的时候他还非常心满意足，但是到第五节的时候他就已经很不安了。
But Daniel recounts his dream and tells the king very clearly that this tree is the king himself.
因为这个但以理跟他讲说这个树讲的就是他自这个尼布甲尼撒王他自己。
But the bad news is this, right? Nebuchadnezzar is this tree that's going to be cut down.
因为这个树要被砍掉。
This is so clear to the Babylonian thought that the astrologers probably knew the interpretation, but were too scared to tell the king.
这个梦呢，就是说对巴比伦讲都是很明显，但是他们都很怕跟那个王讲解这个梦。
But Daniel, though wishing the best for the king, also speaks the harsh truths from God. He wasn't afraid to tell the truth from God.
但以理呢，他就是当然希望这个王一切都好，但是呢，他也就是要讲出从神来的这些真理。
In the dream, it was an angel from heaven who commands a tree be chopped down and left with a stump.
这个梦呢，讲就是从天上要来一位天使，他就会要命令把这个树砍掉，只留下一个树墩。
This is to signify that Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom will be divinely cut off.
这个呢，也就是象征着尼布甲尼撒的王国要被要被砍断，要被毁灭。
But not permanently. A band is there to protect the tree stump so that one day it may grow back.
但不是永久性的，会留一个 铜箍会保护这个树墩，所以呢，它以后会长回来。
And then Nebuchadnezzar sees the next part of his dream. Guess why he's deaf.
所以呢，这块尼布甲尼撒就看到他
Let him be drenched with the dew of heaven. Let him live with the animals among the plants of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let him be given the mind of an animal. Now seven times pass for him.
树墩却要留在地内，用铁圈和铜圈箍住，在田野的青草中让天鹿低湿，使他与地上的兽一同吃草，使他的心改变，不如人心，给他一个兽心，使他经过七七。
And once again, this interpretation is not real hard to give. Nebuchadnezzar already knew what this meant.
就是这个解释呢，这个梦的解释呢，也不是说很难啊。这个尼布甲尼撒他自己也知道。
Nebuchadnezzar already knew that he was going to be humiliated.
尼布甲尼撒他已经知道他自己要被要受到羞辱。
The God of heaven.In this contest against King Nebuchadnezzar, will show once again that he is a true king, and Nebuchadnezzar is limited in his kingship.
所以在这个王和王国这个里边这个竞争呢这个我们的神再一次显示了他我们的神给了这个尼布甲尼撒他的一个就很有限的一个一个王权。
Daniel, as a prophet, is not telling Nebuchadnezzar something new.
所以呢，但以理呢，他作为一个先知，他并没有跟这个尼布甲尼撒讲什么新的东西。
Daniel, as a prophet, is here giving advice to Nebuchadnezzar, saying, "If you do not turn, this will happen to you."
但以理作为先知呢，他在这里跟尼布甲尼撒讲的反倒是，就是说，如果你要是不悔改的话，那么你的后果是会是这样。
Look at verse 27.
看，让我们来看一下第二十七节。
This is Daniel, right? Therefore, your Majesty, be pleased to accept my advice. Renounce your sins by doing what is right, and your wickedness by being kind to the oppressed. It may be that your prosperity will continue.
这里是但以理说的话，王啊，求你悦纳我的谏言，以施行公义，断绝罪过，以怜悯穷人，除掉罪孽，或者你的平安可以延长。
When God reveals something to us, it's not just simply to satisfy curiosity about what's going to happen.
当神向我们显现一件事的时候，并不是来满足我们的好奇心。
And this is true for us today. When we read the Bible, it's not just to satisfy curiosities of who God is and what.We are to do.
在当今也是这样的。就我们读圣经的时候，并不是讲，就是看看那个圣经里面都讲什么了。
D.L. Moody once said, "The Bible is not given for or information, but for transformation."
Moody 这样说，这个圣经给了我们，并不是给我们提供一些信息，而是要我们来转变。
Don't simply come to church to find out what God teaches in the Bible. We must be changed.What we hear.
不要到教会来，就是来听听，来看看，就是神在圣经中给我们教导了一些什么。
It is a dangerous thing.
我们必须要改变。
It's a dangerous thing to read and study God's word only to choose to disobey Him.
所以呢，这个就是实际上，如果要是只读神的话，然后呢又违背神，这是一件很危险的事情。
Nebuchadnezzar knew what God needed him to do.
尼布甲尼撒他知道神要他做什么。
Unfortunately, he did not do it.
不幸的是呢，他就是没有照神的话做。
Look at verse 28 and 29.
我们看看第二十八到第二十九节。
Passed for 12 months, for a year, he listens to Daniel's advice, but soon we see that his pride takes over.
可能是
So maybe he listened to Daniel's advice for a year. But after that, his pride, sometime later, his pride took over.
他可能就是大概有这么一年左右吧，他可能听了但以理的
建议，但是呢，在过了以后呢，他的这个骄傲又占了上风。
All this happened to King Nebuchadnezzar. 12 months later, as the king was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, he said, "Is not this great Babylon I have built as a royal residence by my mighty power and for the glory of my majesty?"
这事都临到尼布甲尼撒王。过了十二个月，他游行在巴比伦王宫里。他说。这大巴比伦不是我用大能大力建为京都，要显我威严的荣耀吗
？You see his attitude. I built by my power or my glory, my majesty.
你看到这里，他的态度就说，是他用他自己的能力建的这个城，而且是为了显示他的威严和荣耀。
Nebuchadnezzar returns to his old paradigm that he's a self-made king.And his power belongs for himself for his own glory.
尼布甲尼撒又回到他那个老的方式，因为他觉得他是一个自己是靠他自己能力来成立了，成为一个王，而且所有的这些全能都是属于他的。
His heart is full of pride as he sees what he thinks he accomplished himself.
当他看到他认为是他靠他自己能力所成就的一切，他就是他的这个他就非常骄傲。
As quickly as Nebuchadnezzar ignores God, God remembers his judgment against Nebuchadnezzar.
所以呢，就是当他就是来不理会神的时候，那么神也很快就来提醒他。
Immediately, while he was still saying these things, he loses his mind and becomes like an animal.
就是非常快的，就当他说这句话的时候，他就马上他就已经就疯了，然后他的行为就跟那个野兽一样。
He's driven from the palace to live with the beasts.
他就是被从宫殿中赶出来和野兽住在一起。
Like a cow, he's to eat grass and have dew fall him in the morning.
就像那些牛一样吃草，然后。早上时候也有露水滴到他身上。
His physical appearance even changes to one that resembles an animal.
他就连他的这个外表也变得跟那个野兽很相像。
Hair like feathers, nails like talons of a bird.
他的头发就跟羽毛一样，他的那个手指甲就跟鸟的爪子一样。
It's debatable how long these seven periods of time are.
所以呢，就是有不同的，这个七期有不同的这个七期到底有多长，有不同的争议。
It must have taken some time for his hair and his nails to grow out.
因为那个毕竟要花时间，他的头发还有这个指甲要长出那么长来。
Whatever the time, it was sufficient for Nebuchadnezzar to be humiliated and ready to turn back to God.
但是不管是多长，但这已经是就是足够长，然后让他认到他的羞辱，然后他可以回到神的面
前。It was a long period of time. His son, Amel-Marduk, probably came to rule over Babylon for a short time.
可能就是这段时间，就是他的儿子Amel-Marduk 来掌管这个，来统治巴比伦。
And after this set time, God gave Nebuchadnezzar both his sanity and his kingdom back.
过了这段时间，那么神就把这个他的正常的神智又还有他的这个王国又归还了给他。
But what did Nebuchadnezzar do to earn his kingdom back?
但是尼布甲尼撒做了什么来值得他把得回又值得他又赢回了他的王国呢
？In a battle of king versus king, did he have an army to fight God?
在这个神与神之间的这个征战中，他是有一个军队来和神一起来和神争斗吗
？No，
没有。
Did he reason with God to say that he deserves his kingdom back？
他有没有跟神辩论，就说他是值得把他的王国得回来
？No， because he had lost his mind. He thought like an animal at this point.
也不可能，因为他已经发疯了。那当时他就是像野兽一样生活。
Did he return the things that he stole from Jerusalem back into the temple?
他有没有把从以色列神殿里那个掠夺那些东西还回去
No, he didn't do any of it. Look at verse 34.
他也没有做那些。
The only thing that he did was he raised his eyes toward heaven.
他唯一做的事就是他抬起他的眼睛，仰望天空。
And then God restored him.
然后神就把他恢复了。
And this is how God works, grace.
这也就是神是如何来工作的，是神是靠恩典来工作的。
Nebuchadnezzar never deserved to have his kingdom back.
因为尼布甲尼撒根本就是不配得他的把他的王国得回来。
He never paid for the injustices that he had committed against people and against God.
他也没有为他就是所做的那些不公义的事情有赔偿。
He did nothing.
他什么也没有。
He could do nothing. He had a mind of an animal.
他也不可能做什么，因为他当时就像畜生一样。
But somehow in this humiliation, he looked up to God.
但是呢，就是通过这个羞辱，他就是回转到神。
And God had mercy.
然后神对他有怜悯。
And this is how God's grace works with us all.
这也是神的恩典在我们中间工作。
We don't deserve grace.
我们都不配有恩典。
But when we swallow pride and turn back to God in faith, we can receive His grace.
但是当我们吞下我们的骄傲，然后我们转向神，靠信心的时候，然后我们就会得到神的恩典。
I think King Nebuchadnezzar finally gets it after 4 chapters.
我想就是过了四章以后，你可以看到尼布甲尼撒王。最终他就是还是明白了。
Look at verse 34 and 35.
我们看看34到35节。
At the end of that time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my sanity was restored. Then I praised the Most High. I honored and glorified Him who lives forever. His dominion is an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the peoples of the earth are regarded as nothing. He does as He pleases.With the powers of heaven and the peoples of the earth, no one can hold back his hand or say to him, What have you done?
日子满足，我尼布甲尼撒举目望天，我的聪明归附于我，我便称颂至高者，赞美尊敬活到永远的神，他的权柄是永久的，他的国存到万代，世上所有的居民都算为虚无，在天上的万军和世上的居民中，他都凭自己的旨意意志行事，无人能拦住他手，或问他说：“你做什么呢？”
All his accomplishments amount to nothing next to God.
所以尼布甲尼撒他一切的成就跟神一比的话，根本就是都是就是不值得一提。
And then he submits to God.
他就是服从了神。
And then he praises God.
他赞美神。
Praise is a response of people who discover the power of God.
赞美呢，就是这些人认识到神的大能的这些人，他们的一个反应就是赞美。
We who have this glimpse of God cannot help but to praise God.
我们就是只能就是我们禁不住的要赞美神。
In fact, this is why we sing on Sundays. We can't hold it in. We must sing, and we must sing it together with God's people.
这也是为什么我们在主日的时候，我们都要唱诗来赞美神。
We are responding to God for who He is.
我们是对神我们是对神的一个回应。
And in praising God, we enjoy God more.
所以呢，在赞美神的时候，在赞美神的同时，我们也更
We enjoy God more as we praise Him.
我们在赞美神的同时，我们也更就是欢欣在神里面。
C.S. Lewis says this.
C.S. Lewis 这样说。
I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because a praise not merely expresses.But completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. It is not out of compliment that lovers keep on telling one another how beautiful they are. The delight is incomplete till it is expressed.
我认为我们在赞美中会得到很就是很高兴因为因为这个赞美呢不光是表示不光来完成这个一种喜悦，它也是就是使这个喜悦这个得到完成是通过我们是这个情人之间是通过互相的赞美来就是情人之间不是说为了就是单单就说好他们就是对方怎么怎么美丽来不只是要这样做，因为他们这样做呢是只有这样做他们才能达到就是一个很高兴的境界。
And we do this not only with our lovers, right? We do this with newborn babies. If you see a new baby, you want to praise it. You want to say how cute, right? And it makes you happier when you say it. And you want to hold it, right?
不光是情人之间互相说赞美的话，我们看到一个新生的婴儿，我们也会这样说。所以你看这个小这个小孩多么可爱。
And you do this with your favorite sports team, right? If your sports team win, you cheer.
你们就是对你这个一些体育队，我们也会这样。然后看到他们赢了， right. 他们赢了的时候，我们会为他们叫好。
We praise God because it makes our enjoyment of God better.
我们赞美神是因为是我的这个赞美使我们能来更来喜悦神。
In addition to personally praising God, Nebuchadnezzar also writes a letter, and this is what we have in this chapter, a letter.
所以就是不光是通过他个人来赞美神，尼布甲尼撒他又写了一封信，他就这封信就是这一章所讲的。
Right, chapter 4, verse 1. Nebuchadnezzar, King Nebuchadnezzar to all the peoples and nations. He's writing a royal proclamation, giving a testament of God.
所以就是在第四章第一节你可以看到就是他这是讲就是这么一个宣称就是他是给所有的王国里的人写的这封信。
He sees the greatness of God and he must tell everyone under him that this is the King of Kings and I'm just one king under him.
他看到神的伟大所以他必须要告诉他手下的所有人就是说神是非常伟大他只不过是神下面的一个王。
Now there's a lot of things we can learn from this event.
所以呢，在这件事中，我们有好多可以可学之处。
God humbles the proud, as Nebuchadnezzar finds out firsthand.
神会使那些很骄傲的人谦卑。我们可以从尼布甲尼撒王中的亲身经历中看到。
God is gracious to sinners when we turn back to Him.
然后神对这些犯罪的人也有恩典。当我们回转的时候。
Praise and proclamation are the right responses to God's goodness.
赞美也是赞美和宣扬也是我们对神的恩典的一个正确的反应。
And all these are the reasons why Nebuchadnezzar first writes this letter.
所以这一切也都是就是说为什么尼布甲尼撒王要写这封信。
However, the author of the book of Daniel puts the story here in Daniel chapter 4 for a different reason.
但是呢，就是《但以理书》这本书的作者，他把这封信加到放在这个书里的，他是有另一个动机。
And that's why we talked about at the very beginning. This is a story to teach the Jews how to live in exile.
这个呢，也就是我们最开始所讲到的，这个故事的目的就是要教导那些犹太人在流亡中如何生活。
And answers or helps answer these two concerns: Can I trust God to be in control?And what should I do while in exile?
所以呢，他就是在这里回答了两个问题。第一呢，就是说我能不能相信神是在掌管一切？而第二呢，就是说我们在流亡中的时候，我们对这个当今的这个掌权者，我们应该如何对待
？Yes, we can trust God. God is in control. Every chapter in Daniel tells us that God is in absolute control.
是的，我们可以相信神是在掌管的，因为但以理书每一章都是这样讲，说神是都在彰显神的绝对的全能。
And if he's been with us for a few weeks, you might find that's kind of repetitive. Why does he always? Why is it so repetitive?
所以呢，你要是听这个讲了几个星期了，你可能觉得这个就是非常重复性。为什么老在重复这个
？The reason is that we need reassurances of our faith.
原因呢，就是我们需要就是就不断的来确定我们的信心。
Some people say faith is blind. You take a blind leap of faith.
有的人说信心是盲目的，就是你要有盲目的相信。
But that's not what the Bible talks about. The Bible talks about faith.That we believe because we have evidence.
但是这不是圣经讲的。圣经上面讲，讲的信心是有证据的。
We can trust God because of what He had done in the past.
我们可以相信神，是因为我们知道神过去做了哪些。
And the past is important to pass on to your children, because in the past we see God's deliverance. In the future, we can trust that God will continue to deliver.
我们的过去的经历呢也是很重要的因为我们看到在过去神拯救了我们，这样我也可以跟那个跟这个我们的后代说，我们可以相信在将来神还会拯救我们。
The Old Testament is full of these stories of God being trustworthy.
旧约中就是有好多好多故事都是在讲神的信实。
And it's full of things to tell people, to remind them, to tell their children.
而且呢 也有好多好多故事在讲，就是要提醒人们，要教导他们的后代。
The Jewish calendar was scheduled or built around the idea that God is trustworthy, and every holiday they celebrate aspects of God's faithfulness.
就是连犹太人的这个他们的日历也都是建立在就是各种各样的节日这些节日呢都是就是要他们纪念神的拯救的这些节日。
Because God is faithful in the past, God will be faithful in the future.
因为神在过去是信实的，神在将来还会是信实的。
When the New Testament talks about faith, it doesn't only point to Israel's history; it points to the cross.
这个新约中讲到信心，它并不只是讲到过去的历史，它还讲到这个十字架。
And look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3 to 5.
我们看到，来看一下
First Corinthians.
I just lost it. 哥林多前书。
Okay. For what I received, I passed on to you as first important. Right. The most important thing about Christianity, that Christ died for our sins according to Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised on the third day according to Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12.
So 哥林多前书，他讲就我当日所受。我当日所领受又传给你们的，第一就是基督照圣经所说为我们的罪死了，而且埋葬了，又照圣经所说第三天复活了，并且显给基法看，然后显给十二使徒看。
So the most important thing about Christianity is that Jesus died and rose again.
所以对这个基督教来讲，最重要的就是说，最重要的一点就是基督死了，但是他又复活了。
But this is all based on evidence. It's not blind faith.
但这一切都是根据事实，都是有确据的，而不是盲目。
Was Jesus dead?
耶稣是不是死了？
Yeah, you buried him.
是的，因为他已经被埋了。
And this is according to Scripture. Scripture testifies too.
而且这是照经文上是这么讲的。
Was he resurrected on the third day?
然后他第三天又复活了。
The Scripture says so.
因为经文上是这么说。
But there's also eyewitnesses, the 12 apostles, and also the 500 that come later.
当然也不光经文上这么说，还有那个证人，这个十二使徒都看见，后来又有两百多人也看到。
Faith is always backed up by evidence.
信心都是建立在这个证据上的。
But faith is also not repeatable in the sense that we can test God like we test science and test you.
但是呢，信心呢又不是说像我们做科学实验那样，就是要可以这样重复性的这样来测试。
Because God is always in control, because He's sovereign, He can do what He wants to do.
因为神是有主权的，所以他就是 可以他来决定什么时候他要做什么事情。
We can't go to God and test God and say, "Well, Peter walked on water, I'm going to walk on water."
我们不能来试探神，就是说彼得能在水上走，我也要在水上走。
But nevertheless, we know that God is a God of history. God is a God who has delivered, and God is a God who will deliver.
就是无论怎样，我们都要相信神啊。神是信实的，神在历史记载上拯救了我们，在将来神还会拯救我们。
The next question that the readers of Daniel want to know is, what must I do? What should I do to live in exile? To live in this uncomfortable land that is not home?
下一个问题呢，就是讲到就是说我们在流亡中是怎么来生活。
And we can learn from Daniel.
我们可以从但以理中来学习。
Yes, Nebuchadnezzar is evil.
尼布甲尼撒是一个很邪恶的人。
A tyrant who destroyed Daniel's homeland.
他是一个暴君，他毁灭了但以理的国土。
In all these events, we see Daniel and his friends being very dedicated to serving the king.
但是呢，我们在这些事件中，我们看到但以理和他的朋友确实在很很忠心的来服侍这个王。
They are more loyal to the king than the king's own subjects.
他们对于国王就很忠实，要胜于这个国王手下他们的自己的人。
And they do this without compromising their service to God, because they recognize that God is the ultimate.
而且他们这样做呢，是基于在并没有就是妥协对神的服侍。
Then in God's timing.God's providence, Nebuchadnezzar turns to God.
所以在靠神的时间还有神的供应，那么尼布甲尼撒最后就归向神。
And this is how we must live in this world today.
这也就是我们如今在这个世界上应该这样生活。
We live in a world that's hostile to God, hostile to us.
我们住在这个世界上，这个世界就是对神很敌对，对我们也很敌对。
We must seek the best of our neighbors, friends, and nation.
所以我们一定要就是从我们的邻里、朋友，还有这个国家寻找最好的。
And yet we must be bold like Daniel, not compromise on the truth of God.
但是我们同时又要很非常勇敢，我们要非常勇敢，就像但以理一样，我们不要就是在。这个服侍神的上面有任何妥协。
We must speak words of truth to our neighbors who do not want to hear that they are sinners.
我们必须对我们的邻里讲真话，尽管他们不愿意听，不愿意听说他们是罪人。
Like Daniel, we must give these words of truth with love.
就像但以理一样，我们一定要就是就是以爱来跟他们讲这些话。
We must tell our neighbors that if they do not turn to God, judgment will come.
我们要告诉我们的邻舍，如果他们要不转向神的话，那么审判就会来到。
And we must also give them great hope in the gospel that God is gracious and loving and is willing to be gracious and loving toward them.
我们还要，同时我们还要给他们一个很大的希望，就是通过福音来传给他们这个希望，说神是有恩典的，神也是如果他们悔改，神是爱他们的。
Daniel probably fought Nebuchadnezzar for 40-50 years. As a subject, he contended with Nebuchadnezzar probably for 40-50 years.
但以理可能就是服侍这个尼布甲尼撒大概40多年。
And he continued blessing the king, and this is what we must do for neighbors.
而且他就是这期间他在不断的在祝福这个神，我们也要这样对待我们的邻里。
Even when non-believing neighbors continue to challenge us, we continue to bless them.
尽管我们的邻舍，如果他们要不相信我们，挑战我们的话，我们也要爱他们。
And we can do this because we're confident that God is in control.
我们可以这样做，因为我们是坚信神是信实的。
We have all the evidence right here in the book of Daniel and throughout the Bible that God is in control.
我们这个 但以理书给了我们足够的证据，和还有这个圣经，神是掌管一切的。
He will care for his people.
神会。
He will care for his people.
神会看顾他的子民。
Nebuchadnezzar, or any other circumstances, no circumstance is too big for God to overcome.
就是没有任何一种没有任何一种境况对神来说是无法克服的。
And though we're in exile, we had this true home, God.
尽管我们是在流亡，但是我们在神里面，我们有一个真正的家。